You know, Brother Gary's been making mention of last year. You know, well, last year when we were... Well, the conference CD, the MP3 CD of last year's conference is available. So if you'd like to order that, if you don't have it and you'd like to order that, just out there on one of the forums, just make it very clear, 2010 Prayer and Power Conference. Now, it will be on an MP3 CD. You're not going to get a stack of CDs. It'll be on one CD, but it will have the entire conference on it. And it will have, it's not just the sermons, but also prophecies that came forth. It includes the exhortations over the offerings, all of it. All of it is on there. So anyway, just wanted to make you aware of that. As far as next year is concerned, as of right now, we plan to have a conference next year. It will probably be in April. Pastor Dave has all but guaranteed that he'll be here next year. And, you know, we'll just, as the Lord leads, you know, we're not telling you make your plans now. We're just letting you know that it may indeed come up again next year. So just wanted to give you a little bit of an advance notice about that. Praise God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses is getting ready to die. And the entire chapter, or the entire book of Deuteronomy, is like his farewell address. And he says in chapter 6, verse 1, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes and judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go in to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged." So what he's saying right here in these first two verses is this. You're getting ready to go into the land of promise. But God has given you some instructions, things you're supposed to do. And you're supposed to teach these from generation to generation. Not alter them, not change them, teach them exactly as they have been given. And one of the things that he says is that, verse 2 at the beginning of it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. That word fear, in fact, that entire phrase, that thou mightest fear, it's not simply a matter of respect. It's also to maintain a holy fear of what might happen if you don't do what God says. So it's not just, oh God, I respect you. It's a matter of, don't forget who you're dealing with. This is a holy God, and He's given these instructions, and you need to be concerned about your attitude toward this and what could happen if you violate His instructions. Then also, He says at the end of verse 2, that thy days may be prolonged. It's not simply that you live long, that thy days might be prolonged. In other words, that your life will be extended beyond what you would typically anticipate. So He's promising them not just long life, but prolonged life. And then He says in verse 3, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey." So here He's saying, I'm giving these instructions, and one of the things that is going to happen in your life is if you will do this, if you just obey what God tells you to do, He says you'll increase mightily. Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest down in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." I mean, basically, that's just an Old Testament way of describing meditation in the Word. Well, in verse 8 He says, "Bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." You ever wonder where in the book of Revelation it talks about the beast system and the mark of the beast on your hand and on your forehead? Well, where do you think the devil got the idea for this? He's trying to supplant God's Word with his own. In verse 9 He says, "Write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates, and it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells dig, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. In other words, he's saying, listen closely to what I'm saying. I'm giving you instructions. And I'm going to be taking you into a land where everything you need is already there waiting for you. When you walk in, you're not going to have to sow and plow and work hard to hope to have some food the next season. He says, no, it's already there. The houses are there. The cities are there. Everything you need is already there, and it's waiting for you. But don't forget that I'm the one that did this for you. In other words, he's saying the promised land is waiting there with all of this. You guys have, you've been in Egypt. You've been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. You haven't done anything to get the promised land ready for your arrival. I'm the one that did it all. And when you get there, it will be waiting for you. And you're not going to have to beg and plead and go through a bunch of gyrations to get it. It's there now. Right now. Well, you know that had to have been exciting to them, but can you imagine? Once they got into the promised land, and there are these houses. These houses. And they stand and they look at the house and they think, well, I know what God said, that these houses would be waiting for us. But, Mr. High Priest, I need to know, how much of an offering do I have to give before I can move into this house? This vineyard over here with those big, fat, juicy, you know, grapes and you know, the olives over here and all this, I mean, they're there waiting for us. And I can tell those are better than anything I've ever eaten before. Before I go pick any of those grapes for me and my wife and my kids, how much of an offering do I have to give you to partake of this increase? Well, you know what today, what we'd hear. Now think. Well, let me show you another place. Look over in Hebrews chapter 4. And we won't turn to this, but in Deuteronomy 28, God kind of repeated all of this when he said, now look, here are all these blessings that are waiting for you. Just obey what I'm telling you to do. Just live in the word that I've given you. Blessed will you be in the city. Blessed will you be in the field. Your fields and your crops are going to be blessed. Your cattle is going to be blessed. Everything you do is going to be blessed. The heavens will be open. Rain will come down. You're not going to have drought. And on and on and on it went. So all of these things were there. Well, in Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 9 it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Now you see there in verse 10 where it says, for he that is entered into his rest. That word his, it's not talking about the he. Look again. For he that is entered into his rest. That word his is not speaking of the he that's entering into it. That word his is speaking of verse 3. Where God is saying, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. God's saying, when you enter into my rest, the works are done. Well, what is his rest? And then it goes on to talk about, you know, if Joshua could have given the people of God the kind of rest that God wanted them to have, then there wouldn't have been another covenant, there wouldn't have been other promises, which leads to chapter 8. In verse 1, it says, this is the sum, everything we've been talking about. We have a high priest who sat on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens. In verse 6 it says, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." So what's happened is we've entered into a covenant that is a better covenant, and it has better promises. Better promises than what? Better promises than the promises that they had who didn't have this covenant, who were living under the first. Now, under the first, God said, once you've entered into this land of promise, everything you need is there waiting for you. You're not going to have to give anybody a tithe or an offering to move into the house, pluck the grapes, or you know, harvest the grain or whatever. You don't have to give anything. It's waiting for you now. And all you have to do is live according to the word I've given you relative to this covenant. And you're going to have rain on your crops. You're just going to flow with my blessings. And you're never going to have to sow an offering to get it. You just move in and live there. And yet now here we are. We have a covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ. It is a better covenant. It has better promises. We have entered into the kingdom of God. And we've become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It's like God's up in heaven saying, how much more do you want me to do for you? I've given you everything. And then you actually walk up to an offering plate and put money in a plate to try to get what I said already belongs to you? You know what? When I've gotten a loan for a car over the years, I was counting down the months when that car would be paid for and that bank would send me the title. It's like, my car. And, you know, the last month, the last payment that I sent it in, you know, if that was April, you know, last payment, glory to God, last payment, you know. Then right on the little memo line, last payment, do you see? Send me the title now! And I'm feeling good. Last payment. I'll tell you what I don't do in May. I don't send them another payment. Because it's paid for. It's mine, glory to God. That is what the body of Christ is trying to do. It's pay for something that's already been paid for, and God has said, here, you've got the title in your hands. I want to give offerings so other people can find out what Jesus paid for to give them. That's why I want to give. Praise God, I've got the title. Hallelujah. And I've got the better promises, and I've got the better kingdom, and I've got the better covenant, and I've just got it better all the way around. God have mercy. All the preachers that say you've got to keep paying for what Jesus bought and gave you. You know what that's like? That's like the snake oil salesmen and the circuses and carpetbaggers and all these shysters. And the sad thing is, so many of them are doing it, they don't even know they're doing it. They think they're helping you. Send your offering in now and God's going to bless you with healing. And there's Jesus saying, excuse me, one of these right here. That's the payment. These stripes right here, that's the payment for their healing. Praise God. I've got the title, it's mine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. You say, well, you know, Brother Jim, let me ask you something. You know, the way you know you do these things and so forth, I mean, aren't you just trying to hype us up for offerings? No. What we're trying to do is to help you understand what offerings to give into and what offerings not to give into. Because, see, from this point on, I'm not going to give into offerings where the guys are telling me you've got to give to, you know, get this and get that, and Jesus has already paid for it. And what we're trying to do is not hype you up to make you think you've got to give in this offering.
We want you to know the freedom in giving. The joy that comes in giving. It's like, praise God, Father, I'm giving this offering today and I know it's not buying me peace. It's not buying me joy. It's not buying me healing. It's not buying me deliverance. All of these things have been paid for by Jesus Christ. I'm giving today, Father, so those people down the street can hear about Jesus. So those people over in that other country can hear about Jesus. So those little girls at Elaine's conference can get saved and delivered and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm giving, Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this morning, just listen to the Lord and ask Him, what would you have me give? The offering envelopes are there in the pews. And if you're not clear what the Lord is speaking to you, then whatever you would purpose in your heart, just do that. It's fine. That's all that's necessary.